broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to episode 17 of the broadcast. Yay!
Yay, hello.
I feel like every week we have this countdown of, you know, here's what you do to celebrate this birthday, and here's what you do to celebrate this birthday. So I think we're celebrating our 17th episode by getting our driver's licenses.
Oh, girl, okay. I'm from Montana. I got my driver's license when I was 15.
Wow. Okay. I did not.
But I feel like they've changed the laws since we were of that age.
Well, that's also true. I think in Montana now it's 16, but definitely when I was at that age, I got mine at 15, which means that you could get a driver's permit when you were 14, which is insane.
Yeah, that just sounds dangerous.
Yes. 17, however, that was a good year. Maybe no milestones, but just a good overall year.
Yeah, I had a good 17-year-old age year, too. I had a great group of friends in high school and transition. here's where I'm going there. And we all keep in touch for the most part and just saw each other this past weekend at probably the pillar of our group is Brian, who, if you are a Married Man Show listener and listened to the rotating guest hosts, Brian, also known as Brent, they were doing a countdown to his wedding. Well, it just happened on the October 23rd, and it was in the church service was in Springfield, Massachusetts, and then the reception was at this awesome place called Wickham Park in Manchester, Connecticut. But I've known Brian since middle school, and we're also kind of talking because we really haven't seen each other since another friend, Ian, if you are a MetroBuzz listener from back in the day, Ian came and hung out on the roof with me and Amanda one day and did a rooftop session. I know. That was
Ian Face.
Ian Face. So, yeah, I saw Ian Face this weekend, and we have the same birthday, Ian and I, and the last time we all hung out together was our 30th birthday party, so that was 2.5 years ago at this point. So we were all thinking like, oh my God, it's so crazy now. I was pregnant at the time. Ian's wife was pregnant at the time. You know, now we've got like these 2.5-year-old kids running around. It's just, you know, kind of crazy to think about the fact that we're all still kind of keep in touch for the most part, or we just all pick up kind of where we left off. It's just kind of crazy that everybody kind of knows so much about each other's lives through like social media or whatever. and everybody just picks up right where they left off. But I guess what I'm getting at is at the table at the reception, somebody was like, do you realize that 3 of the 4 people in Brian's part of the bridal party are his high school friends? I just thought that was just insane. And we all had so much fun just, you know, reminiscing and telling stories. And everybody got to meet Zach, who was the ring bearer. And
God, those pictures were so ridiculous.
Oh my God.
So cute.
Yeah, it looked so adorable. Cute. It was a disaster. So,
well, a photogenic disaster.
So he was fine at the point that I took the picture. So we get there, and okay, so Jay and I had kind of bad luck with the getting, we're bad at getting places on time. But more specifically, I'm bad at things on time. So
a girl after my own heart.
Awful. We get to the reception late. Not the reception, the rehearsal late, because we left from the hotel late and then we hit some traffic and we got there like 20 minutes late. So we had missed where Zach practices walking down the aisle. So we practiced with him after. My parents practiced with him the next day because my parents were there too. And it was also really weird to hear my friends call my parents by their first names, because I don't even think my parents said that it was okay. But Ian was like, Rosemary Lee, how are you doing? And I could see like Claudio being like, is this okay now? Because I've been calling them Mr. and Mrs. McAllister for 20 years.
And oh, is that an East Coast thing?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's not an East Coast
thing. Back West, we're a little bit more laid back.
I don't know if it's an East Coast thing. I think it's just a old-fashioned thing or a respect thing or something.
Because I have a lot of my like really young childhood, their parents, yeah, we don't go by like Mr. and Mrs. It's just their first name.
Because I'm pretty sure that
my mother would be upset if you called her Mrs.
I don't care either way. And I had friends' parents who didn't care either way, but my parents cared, and some of our other parents cared too.
Awkward then, yeah.
But I guess they didn't care at this point because they never said anything to me about it. It was just a really weird moment. I was like, they just called my parents by their first name. and everyone's know they plural. Had first. I didn't know that my friends knew that my parents had first names. So,
Mr. and Mrs. That is their first name.
Exactly. But anyway, that was a weird moment. So get back to what I was saying. We got to the rehearsal late, so we missed that. My parents kind of practiced with Zach. He let him walk around the church, whatever. The next day, my parents took Zach ahead and we were kind of late, but we had time. And then we go downstairs and my friend Claudio's girlfriend was downstairs, Jen, and she was like, "So am I taking you guys?" And we were like, "You're going to drive us? Oh my God, yes." Because we had talked about it the after party or whatever from the rehearsal dinner. Like we all went and drank at a bar after. I'm making it sound cooler than it was. It was the Outback because it was within walking distance of the hotel. So, but she had taken us back from the Outback the night before and mentioned driving us. But then when she had texted during the day, I was at one point, I was like, you want to leave at 105? I am not going to be ready at 105. Like I might be ready if I'm lucky if I'm ready by 1:15. Like, I'm so sorry. So I thought that she just left. So we took our time. Then we're the assholes that stroll down there at 1:20. And she's like, "So am I taking you guys?" I was like, "I'm so sorry." Luckily, the groomsmen hadn't left yet. So they were still waiting to get on their own, like, little van bus thing that they had. So I was like, "Okay, well, no matter what, we're still ahead of Brian. We're going to get there before him." So we're going there, and we probably get – it was 30 miles in between. We probably get 20 miles, and Jen goes – she was borrowing a car because they live in Brooklyn. She's like, "Oh, shit, guys. I just realized that the light was on when I was – the gas light was on when I was driving up yesterday, and it's still on now. I think we need to stop for gases." And we were like, "Well, how long do you think it's been? Because, you know, you probably have a good, like – 40 miles or whatever, depending." And she's like, "Well, it's definitely probably been at least 30 miles since it's been on." And we were like, "Okay,
to a gas station."
So we stopped at a gas station, and then the Waze was like slowly creeping up, like, "What time you're going to get there?" And it started at 2, and at one point it said that we would get there at like 2:03, and I was like, "Well, shit, like, I don't want to miss Zach walking down the aisle." So, you know, we were like, "Okay, it's fine. It's fine." Like, and we didn't want to, like, text any of them and be like, "So, did your van leave the hotel yet?"
Like, "Oh, the wedding! Oh, the bride! We're not there yet!"
The ring bearer's mom is still in the car with the ring bearer's dad.
Only, like, the fourth most important person at the wedding.
Seriously. Oh, and the best man's girlfriend is also in the car. So we're all not there. So we get the gas real quick and get back on the road. And thank God, like, so we noticed that there's like a spot like towards the front, and we were like, "Jen, get that spot." And she's like, "I got it." So we drive around and then realize that it's like one of those, like it's got the yellow lines diagonally across. So you can't really park there. It's like a loading zone or something, like walkway. So we're like, "Shit." So I was like, "I'm just going to duck and roll out the car and make sure that Zach is okay."
Dress in heels.
Yeah. Duck and roll. Duck and roll.
Duck and roll.
I was like, "You're the smart
protect
one."
Protect your neck.
Memory.
Protect your neck. Yeah.
Protect the neck. Protect the dress. So get in. And we had beaten them there, which was great. And my mom is like, "Okay, Zach, you ready?" And he had taken his bow tie off like 80 times. So we got the bow tie back on. And then my parents were sitting like midway up. And Zach like looks at all the people, just sits there. And he's like, "Mommy, mommy," hands around my neck. And I was like, "No, we're going to practice walking up and down. Mommy, mommy." So refuses to walk, like just wants to be carried because he's, you know, 2 and a half. And we're almost 2 and a half and has a mind of his own. So all of my friends from high school, I see a group of them sitting up there, and none of them have ever met Zach. They just know how cute he is on Facebook. And all I could think is, oh my God, he's throwing this tantrum right now about how mini tantrum about he doesn't want to walk down the aisle. So I'm like sitting there. I'm literally sitting on the floor in the middle of the aisle with Zach. And I'm like, "It's okay. We're going to walk from here to here." At that point, Jay had gotten there, they had come in. So like they were sitting like at the very front of the church because I was like, "You know, you're going to walk all the way up front to Daddy." Because my thought was, if I can get him to go all but like 3 rows, because I think Jay was like, 3 or 4 rows back, then that was a win. And we were just going to take it. Because it was a long, it was a cathedral. It was a long thing. So
That's a lot for a little kid.
I know. So he was being very, little kiddy. finally at one point I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just carry him and walk him up and down the aisle, because at some point the temptation of being of not being able to walk on his own, like, he's going to get annoyed and want to be put down. And that worked. And I was like, great, he wants to get... So I walk him, like, back down towards the doors. And he's got a car in his hand, and he's playing with the car, and he's playing with the flower girl. I'm thinking, all is great, this is wonderful. Courtney, the bride, gets there. She looks beautiful. And then I realized we missed the rehearsal. So we, like, had no idea what order we walked in, or he walked in. We didn't know where we went after. So at that point, Zach is ready to go. He's excited. And I'm like, no, you got to let all the bridesmaids go first. So everybody goes down, and we go, and it's our turn, and I'm like, I'll hold your hand. So we walk down. He gets maybe 3 feet, like 4 steps, looks at all the people, and is just like, uh-uh. And just looks at me and reaches his arms up, and he's like, I am done. I am out. I am not walking down this aisle. So I ended up having to hold the pillow with the rings myself as Zach held the car in his mouth. And I was holding him, and that's how he walked down. And I felt so stupid, because I was like, I am not in this wedding. I have no business being in this wedding. And now here I am in this wedding. So
did your dress match the bridesmaids' dresses? Was your dress in theme?
They were navy blue, and I was in dark purple, as I tend to be, in some shade of purple, pink, or brown, red at all times. So that was interesting. I didn't know where to go, so I kind of just awkwardly ducked into the first pew, because I was like, I don't want to go all the way up there. Like, that's ridiculous. So I don't know, but it ended up being fine after that. The reception was super fun. Amanda, you've been to Wickham Park?
Yeah, my best friend in the entire world, who, side note, I found out today, is pregnant. Oh, so excited.
Wow.
Yeah, she's wanted a baby for a really long time. And it made my day. But yeah, she had her wedding at Wickham Park. They did the whole thing. They did the wedding and the reception in that that cabin.
Awesome.
They were supposed to do it in the garden, but it rained that day. So they ended up doing the ceremony and the dancing in that little cabin. And it was beautiful, because as Colleen, as you can attest to, it's like small and intimate and really beautiful. And there's a giant moose head, which, as I was coming down the aisle and like standing during the vows, I was just trying really hard not to laugh at the giant moose head that was over the couple. I don't know if the moose head is still there, but
Did you marry them?
Oh. That was one of the few weddings that I was in that I didn't preside over.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Wickham Park.
Wickham Park. It's beautiful.
So, yeah, so this venue is just, it's set on like a hill, and it overlooks the city of Hartford, but like all these trees and the fall colors were just beautiful, because they'd all changed colors, and it was absolutely gorgeous. It was
Another side note, our cross-country regional races used to be at Wickham Park.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, really fun place to run as well.
I bet. So, it's very hilly.
Yeah, side note.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was great to catch up with everybody. We all did that thing where, you know, we're like, we're going to do something once a year, but we'll see you when the next person gets married. kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. A lot of great dancing. A lot of just, I don't know, a good time. So I ate way too much roast beef, because I had one of those carving stations, and I went back like 3 times, and I had a stomach ache at one point when I was dancing. I was just like, please don't let me like fart really smelly or something. Please.
Oh, that might segue nicely into one of the things we may or may not talk about.
It might.
Sorry, the joke had to be made.
No, make that joke, and remember, you're the one that's going to be reading that. What's going on with you guys? Because I have been talking, as I do, for way too long. So please, somebody else talk.
Never.
While you were off celebrating a wedding, you missed our 10-year college reunion.
Oh, I know. My sister was. Did you see Christy, my sister?
No, but I saw on Instagram that she was there. I never saw her.
That's crazy.
But it was kind of rainy on Saturday, so we didn't spend too much time on campus, which was kind of a bummer, because Sunday was gorgeous. Yeah. And it was just like, oh, why couldn't we just flop these days? But yeah, no, it was really, really great. The actual tenure at Mahoney's was fine. It was actually a lot of fun. It was great seeing people, but it's Mahoney's, and you're quickly reminded how terrible Mahoney's was. It was like the fancy college bar.
We were
in college.
It was where the seniors went.
Yeah, because you couldn't get in with a fake ID.
also, the old people used to go there too.
Yeah.
And by old, I mean people our age now.
pretty much. But like, so there's like this party room in the back on the top floor, and that's where we were, which is really great. It was, you know, sort of secluded, removed. We had our own DJ. We had our own food. However, you had to go out of the room to the bar to get drinks. So that just meant everyone was like hanging out outside of the room. So it's like our private room was empty and everyone was crammed around the bar. And then all the normal sort of general clientele was also in that area. So it was kind of a clusterness. But it was really nice seeing people. It was really nice. My boyfriend came up with me and it was really great to show him around. I got to, you know, the new student center call is amazing. Like the theater, like the whole back green room area is all brand new. So it's totally, totally different and like,
wow,
beautiful. So we went back, we found the Rocky Horror poster. So I took my picture with that. It's nice to know your legacy lives on and your name lives on a piece of paper next to a stockinged leg on a wall. So that's really nice. Yeah. And then we went by the communications building, which that was my major. And it was really kind of like a janky building when I was there, and they've just renovated it like top to bottom. There's all these, they have two studios that are just like really, really nice. And they've got all these, computer labs and the program is light years better than what it was when I was there. They learn like Avid and they learn Premiere and they learn all these differences. They learned like everything. And I was just, it was so awesome and inspiring to hear how far the program has come since I left.
That's awesome.
It was just like, it was really, really inspiring. But it was really, really great. And I cut all my hair off. So that was another really exciting thing. Yeah. Today is the first like really good hair day since so it's settled into itself.
So you're
catching it at the peak of new haircut, lovely. Ladies. Like, this is the best it's been. So enjoy.
Yeah, great.
So I saw the after picture. How many inches did you end up cutting off?
Like 4.5, almost 5.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's it's good. Yeah. It looks good and I imagine it feels good.
Yeah, it felt good. It was a little weird sitting in the chair because I haven't had my hair this short since I was maybe like 13.
Oh, wow.
So it's like hearing how close the scissors were to my scalp.
Okay, I feel like we need to give that Amanda's hair is still probably a little bit longer than mine, and mine is shoulder length. So,
I can go over to a ponytail now. Okay,
and Shandy was like,
I can tuck mine behind my ears.
Yeah, Shandy is like cheekbone length. So
I know, like Shandy, your hair is way shorter than me. But this was a big deal in my life. I haven't had my hair this short in a very long time.
Of course, when you're used to being below the shoulders. I used to remember what that's like. Blue length hair. Yeah, that's a big change.
Yeah. It was like down to like my lower boob region.
Yeah, but washing it's gonna be so much easier, dude.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's
pretty easy. Yeah. I'm still doing that, like you're pulling your hair and then you keep going sort of instinctually, but nothing's there. But yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
Yay.
A change.
Good times.
Nice. Well, I did not have as exciting of a weekend, but I will tell you what I did do this weekend. I got my carpets cleaned.
That's actually kind of
exciting. Oh, that's exciting. we're adults. That's exciting.
That was amazing.
Wait. What kind of carpets are we talking about?
Well, we might be talking about different carpets later, although Tim did not write in. But no, my house carpets on the so I rent, which I live in Monterey, California, and I'm not a millionaire, so obviously I rent. And so we have carpet in our apartment because whatever, you know, all the rentals do. Carpet's the fucking worst, but whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not our place. We have carpet. What you gonna do? We've lived here for a while, and we're just like, oh my god, this is just so fucking nasty. So we decided, I mean, maybe it's up to our landlord to pay it. I'm not really sure, but we're just like, well, you know what? Fuck it. Like, let's just call somebody and like, we are adults. We can get our carpet cleaned. So we did. And it was amazing. And it's like life changing. And holy shit. I'm so happy. So that's what we did on Sunday. It was an eventful weekend.
Yay. Hey, you had a nice little quiet Sunday.
Well, we had, so we, I mean, we had to, like,
carpets.
We had to move all of our furniture into the kitchen, which was like a game of Tetris to like fit, you know, all the couches and like everything into the, into the kitchen. And then we had to leave for a few
hours. How many couches you have?
Okay. We have a couch and a love seat. But so we had to fit those in, and they're like pretty like big and bulky. Had to fit those into the kitchen. Had to fit like TV and like the TV.
Right. You had to essentially move one room into another room.
Exactly. And so we had to do that. And then we had to like lock the cats upstairs in one of the bedrooms and then essentially like leave just for like the day. So we drove down the coast, which was nice. And it was great because I think like I may or may not have mentioned I got into the Big Sur Marathon for next year.
Yes.
You did. Yes. Very exciting.
So every time I drive that stretch of coast, I'm always thinking like, okay, and this is where you have to run uphill, and okay, this is what, you know. So that was fun. We drove down the coast and I got to, you know, study again, all of that, and we got to go hang out in Big Sur and whatever while we waited for the carpet to dry, and then we came back and it was clean and beautiful and just wonderful. So, and then we had to move all the furniture back, but you know, that's done. And so that was my weekend. Not very exciting, but very essential. But, also, when I came home today, I had a package. Yep. And what is this package?
She got her carbs cleaned, and then she had her package.
No, unfortunately, not that kind of package, but I did get my second box of Stitch Fix.
Oh my God, are you going to show us right now?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm going to do.
Yes.
So I got this and I was all excited to open it up, see what's going to be in the second box. First item is this coat, which is essentially the exact same coat that I already, like, I have a jacket exactly like this. Like, the zipper is on the same, like, off to the left side type thing. So that's kind of weird.
I like it.
Shandy's is trying on for us a brown suede jacket coat.
Yes. With some sort of like faux, you know, fur lining on the inside. So here's the thing, like, okay, there's a part of me that's like, wow, how do they know that I are like, yeah, I would wear this because I literally already do. Except honestly, like, I live in California. I don't need like this lining. It's actually kind of going to be too hot. So that's going back. You know what they sent with the jacket? This giant scarf.
Do they know where you live?
I feel like I put this in the profile. I have like 50 scarves from just like, you know, because I do love scarves. But
yeah, that's like fall stuff. Like, I think if you live
a little bit like it, right,
it would be useful.
It would be useful, although I literally already have this jacket, so that's not going to work. Let's see. So then they gave me a scarf. It's not even just like a light scarf. It's like a big, heavy scarf, so that's not going to work. Oh, and then they gave me, they sent me some sort of like jeans. Like, they're, what color are they? It's like this like dark green, blue colored like pants, jeans type thing, which are cute, but look too small. It's like, damn, like last time everything was too big. This time those pants definitely are too small. Pants are hard though, I feel like, to get the right size. And then they give me these two tops that like one is like, okay, so it's a small, I guess that's what I like corrected to, but it's still just like so wide. I thought I told them that wide
that's
clothing.
That's the style of that sweater though.
Did you try it on though? Or are you just,
okay, the cat just knocked over the box. There's definitely a pussy box joke somewhere in there. Just grab that cat, Shandy.
She totally actually just spilled my beer. Can we actually take just like a 2-minute break? Because I need to put some towels down.
All right, we can totally.
Damn it.
Okay.
Oh, no, not on the new cleaned carpets.
Oh, no.
We did not clean the upstairs, just the downstairs.
Okay. So, okay. While you do that, I will plug the Patreon. So
perfect.
All right.
I will mute myself.
Fantastic.
Great. Multitasking.
Multitasking. All right, so it's time to thank some of the people that make this entire venture possible, and that is the patrons. If we are part of the Jay and Jack Network. I can never say that every week. I'm barely even drinking this week, and I can't say that.
It's a lot of alliteration. It's okay.
Oh, it's awful. As such, we reap the benefits of their Patreon. And the exciting thing is that the Patreon is $1 away from hitting $900 a month. So it's at $8.99 a month. We are, once we get to $1,000 a month, it's a live broadcast Married Man crossover for everybody out there to be a part of. So if you are a patron, tell your friends to become a patron. They can support us at any level from a dollar to like $1 billion. I know we are working on a brand new level, like for real. I know we keep saying things as a joke. I think Jay would like to announce that one, though. So I will, for once, keep my mouth shut. But we were brainstorming some things about that level today in my trusty little notebook. So that should be exciting once it gets there. But yeah, so if you're a patron, get your friends to be a patron. If you're not a patron, please consider supporting us. We want to get to $1,000 a month. That's only $101 away. If you support us at the $5 more level, you get into the exclusive Facebook group where we're all there hanging out and sharing fun things. We also get to vote on a Patron's Choice podcast once a month that Jay and Jack do. We talked about last month. It was the broadcast Married Man crossover. And you can suggest that and vote on that again and maybe have that happen as well. If it's $15 or more, you are get to hang out. It's a special hangout with Jay and Jack. I'm trying to think, like the $50 level gets you some goodies. I know, Brad, I'm the worst. I'm sorry. Gonna email you back. I actually have all that stuff for you, and it just goes on and on and on. So please consider checking out patreon.com/jayandjack. If you go to jayandjack.com, there is also an easy link at the top of the page as well. Now that that's out of the way, again in an overly long fashion and completely unnecessary, there is one
it's
other
very necessary.
Well, no, the length
we
that
love
I.
Our patrons.
No, we love our patrons. Like, thank you guys. You're all the best. I'm talking about the length in which it takes me to get that speech out every week when I do it every fucking week.
We're getting better. It's good. It's good. It's all good.
One of the other, I guess, housekeeping kind of things is I learned today that we have some international listeners, as I knew, but have we ever read the iTunes Canada reviews? Because we have two of them from July.
What?
Is that a different thing?
Yeah, yeah, how does one even do that? How is it different?
So I went through the computer. I'm sure you can do it on your phone, but I have no idea. I went to, on the homepage of the iTunes store, went to the very, very bottom, and under manage, this is like literally the very bottom, under the manage like menu or whatever, the very last thing is change my country. If you do that, you can pick any country that's listed and you can go in. You can't like anything or whatever because it'll ask you – it'll like make you put your password in and then route you back to the U.S. store. But you can totally creep on it and you can check out what like the iTunes charts are for that country. You can look at the reviews on our podcast or any podcast for that country. So, yeah, I did that today. We didn't have anything from the U.K., so shame on you guys. But we did have two Canadian ones. One is from Chris Haves, and it says, reminds me of conversations I have with my girlfriend, funny and insightful. And another one was from Michaela, and this is pour a glass of wine and enjoy some time with three smart and funny ladies. From serious topics about marriage and children to hilarious and helpful advice, you will find yourself laughing out loud. I'm kind of disappointed, though, Michaela, that you didn't say you'll find yourself laughing out loud and peeing your pants.
Missed joke.
That's okay.
I mean, depends on, you know.
Depends.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't realize that. Yay for Canada. I love Canada.
Yeah.
Also, we have one new iTunes review on the US store. This is what prompted this.
Yep.
Well, that, and I was talking to Mike Bloom, who was like, how do you look up ones? Because I know that there was an international review for Westworld, which if you're listening to Westworld, check out Westworld with Jay, Jack, and Mike, because it's fantastic. And this past episode of Westworld this past week, the dissonance theory was so fucking confusing, and there's a lot of theories that they get into on the show, so definitely check that out. And anyway, I was like, I know you can do it, and that's kind of what led me down that rabbit hole. But we had a new review from Ange Pelagi. I'm sorry, I'm probably saying that wrong. And these girls are the real deal. I was living for the discussion when they had about garlic recently. Funny you should say that, Ange. There may be more feedback about that. Maybe it's from you. I replayed the advice about the bowls and shaking twice. It's also really nice to listen to some ladies who think and talk the same as I do. They speak my feels. I want a shirt or a bumper sticker or something. Something that says they speak my feels, because with a Z, not an S at the end. Because that is awesome.
Yeah. Maybe if we get to the $1,000 level, can we maybe make some merch?
Merch!
That might have to be like the $2,000 level.
Okay, fine.
That merch shit is expensive.
You can cut this part out if I put you on the spot.
Oh, no, you didn't put me on the spot. We'll reevaluate. We actually have some stuff that we're doing involving some of the extra money for you guys over the holidays. So we'll see what's left over with that.
Oh, my. Well, I would give it back for some of them shirts. I love that as well.
They feel my feels. What did I just say?
They speak my feels.
They speak my feels.
Oh, man.
I think that's so great.
Episode title. It.
Yes.
Anyways, I guess moving on for the sake of time. Shandy, you had posted something. Oh, I'm
yes.
sorry. Did anybody else have anything before I gung-ho with the rest of the show?
Ho away.
Ho away? Ho away.
That's another good one.
Shandy, you had posted yes. this link, and it's mansplaining yes. was featured on Jeopardy, and it was perfection.
Oh, that's like a side note. I liked that a lot.
I thought that was fun. I wanted to.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about it in under 30 seconds. So,
okay.
This is what happens when I don't drink on a podcast. I'm like, we could do this totally quick. No tangents needed. There's going to be zero bloopers tonight, this show, guys, because am on it.
That's no good.
Speak for yourself. Hey. I'm on beer number two.
Okay. Hey, there you go. Oh. I had two beers before I even came here. And then my cat stole my third. What?
We went to halftime on the way out of Poughkeepsie, so we're stocked up on good beer.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, let me text my beer maid to bring some beer up.
Nice.
But still, I didn't buy wine on purpose. I feel like tangent here. It's 38 here minutes before we have tangent.
I feel a tangent coming on. Okay.
Hold on. More beer? I like that I'm actually live talking when I'm texting in my son's voice to my husband. So
perfect.
Oh shit, what was my tangent? Oh haha, okay. I don't know why that was funny. I mean, it's a completely serious subject. Oh, so you know how last week I talked about how I was going dry to lose weight for the wedding?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was gonna ask you about that, but I didn't know if it was insensitive.
Well, okay, so it was almost successful. I only drank a little bit when we recorded last week, and that was Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and Survivor and the debate happened, and Shandy, you recorded a podcast with me and Jay immediately following the debate, and we were so fucking shit-faced. I re-listened to that, and I was like, people are used to hearing me slur on a podcast, but I feel like they might be a little weirded out by hearing you slur on a podcast. I mean, we hit on Shandy, Amanda. We were like, want to have a foursome?
Collectively, like together?
Oh, yeah.
We may have made a plan.
We may have made a plan to have a foursome with a Survivor contestant that has no idea that we existed.
No big deal.
Keeping it spicy. Keeping that marriage spicy.
Let me just...
Hey, Colleen, can I just say... I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so did we. And then I re-listened the next morning and I was like, oh my God. I was like, well, I hope people weren't tuning into this for Survivor talk. It was more like Love Line with Jay, Shandy, and Colleen.
No, we did. Okay, to be fair, we did.
Who doesn't miss Love Line? Come on.
I think that today I would disagree with everything they had to say, but yes, I did love it at the time.
No, we talked. We had some great Survivor discussion in the last 15 minutes of the show. Because I listened through that. And you know something? I never thought that like Jack or anybody would hear it. And then the next morning he was like, fun show. It was really funny that you all wanted to have sex with Ken, including Jay. I don't think Jay has a chance, though.
Oh, no.
I was like, yeah, we went a little overboard. We're a little over the top. But
hey, Colleen, hashtag, I may or may not have continued on the tribe.
Did you? Because
Ken came up and I was like, Tim, just so you know, everyone has a crush on Ken. I have a crush on Ken. Colleen has a crush on Ken. Colleen's husband has a crush on Ken. So just lay off.
I started to listen. I have to finish it tomorrow. Hashtag Ken is a 10.
Ken is a 10.
Ken is a 10. I have to say another tangent.
Yes.
People wrote bad iTunes reviews about me on the Tribe and the Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen iTunes pages because I gave my opinion of Trump, which I re-listened to both.
But you didn't even give your opinion.
I re-listened to both of those episodes, and all I did was make fun of the pussy thing.
Come on.
So
if somebody says I'm going to grab them by the pussy, that you give everyone else license to mention
that. Just, to that person, I just have to say it was just locker room podcast talk. Oh. Shandy, if I do the Tribe this week, remind me to make that joke again, okay?
Write it down. Where did my bag go? I'm writing it down.
Locker room podcast talk.
Room.
That might be an episode title.
Podcasting. Yeah. Yes. I think actually, yes. 1,000,000%.
Good times. There was something that led us. Oh, we were going to do this in 30 seconds or less. So mansplaining on Jeopardy.
Well, we failed that.
Yeah. Oh, but the moral of the story was, yes, I did lose 3 pounds by the end of the week. My Wednesday didn't set me back. Luckily, I got it back on Thursday and Friday. I may have had a Whopper with bacon and cheese. Not a junior Whopper, just a Whopper in the car on Friday when we were driving. Luckily, that went right through me, and I shit it all out the next morning. So I called it a draw. So there was that. But I do have to say, what we drank that night was
yes.
So
that's amazing.
Shandy was talking about our Ken foursome. She brought it to the Tribe. No, we're not
going to. No. Veto. Veto power.
Hold on. We might have our first male guest for a second.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, gosh.
Wait,
oh
can you
gosh.
Please?
I'm not even prepared.
Wait, everybody put their bras back on.
Amanda, is your bra on?
No, it's not.
Amanda doesn't wear a bra while podcasting, and she sits there like this the whole time.
And I scratch my boobs the whole time. I'll keep my hands in my lap.
Boob exfoliation. I think that's a fair thing.
Yes.
So what are we saying? We're having a threesome, foursome?
No, okay.
I understand that you probably remember just as much as that episode as I did before I re-listened to it.
No, I strongly remember the Ken foursome thing because...
Yes,
I'm
but
still
just
in
to be clear,
of said
Jay, just to be clear, we are not having an orgy with the Tribe. That is not happening. I call veto power.
That's fine because that's okay. No offense to the Tims of the world. I don't need to add that one to.
Yeah, I'm gonna friend zone Tim. That's
not that into.
I'm gonna make a very.
Not that into. We can invite Nick. That's okay. Nick. But that's not.
Okay, then you're getting off of the tribe and you just want the broadcast.
That's right. Narrative. I am getting off of the tribe. Not off on the tribe, but just off of.
I just.
You brought up the foursome to the tribe just to kind of throw out the idea and where they say they scoffed
like,
at
who
it,
else or... wants? No, because Ryan Elders was on the tribe.
Uh-huh. Well, there was that.
And Shandy has a huge crush on him.
So she was
like, don't feel jealous, she was, though. She likes you more.
She was like testing the waters to see if she'd get just... him in on the foursome. Or
Oh my God, then we'd be outnumbered.
Yeah, I'm fine, but the dick to vagina ratio has to at least be even. It can't.
No, it doesn't. I mean, honestly, I'm good either way, but I'm just saying it doesn't have to. But
Jace is laying out his terms.
Okay, that's he's fine. Like, everyone...
I was cool with touching Ken, maybe. But add this stranger that I am unaware of, other than the fact that I listen to the shows that he composes music for.
I mean, is he handsome? I mean, is he?
I have met him in person on my birthday. No big deal.
He's hashtag humble brag.
Right. He's very good looking, has a very beautiful voice, and is like a raging feminist. So it's
check
music
check
to my
and
ears.
Check.
Yeah, you know? He thinks the friend zone is sexist.
Oh, wow.
And that was unprompted by me.
I think it's true foursome material.
I mean, just saying.
That's what you gotta kind of used to throw it out there. So okay, now I get why you threw the foursome thing to them. You're testing the waters just to see where does he lie on this topic.
Is he said he was flattered.
Oh, there you go.
I wasn't trying to throw anything out. Tim
Amanda
was just
got a pussy
Tim.
Cat on her lap.
Oh, okay.
Oh, uh-huh. Oh, I just got cat claws in the bottom of my foot. Oh, I think I'm. Oh, I think he drew blood.
That's a rough pussy.
Oh, that really hurt. Oh.
And so far, we've had spilt beer, and now.
Did you spill beer on any of this stuff?
No. Shandy's a cat spilt beer.
Oh, okay.
So, so this is like the catastrophe episode for real. I know we joked about that.
Oh, that really hurt, guys.
Yeah.
Oh.
We also determined that my Trump jokes on the Survivor podcast that got us unsubscribed is podcast locker room talk.
Oh.
So really, it's nothing offensive. It's just podcast locker room talk.
Yeah. Can I just say I've been in a lot of like locker rooms in my day, and that's not even remotely close. But actually, Colleen, did you talk about this? What we were talking about? How that's probably just locker room talk for like rich people. Like,
no, we didn't talk about that, and I think that this.
No, it made it because I was like, it's not locker. Like, have you ever been in a locker room with dudes? But then I was just like, wait a second, this is probably like the locker room talk for rich entitled white dudes. And maybe that's his overture, but maybe in his mind, maybe that's what I don't know. I'm not a rich, entitled white guy, so I don't know what those locker rooms are like. So I can't say from his perspective, but maybe it is weird, fucked up life that he lives. That's normal. But in the real world, that's not locker room talk. Locker room talk is generally a bunch of old, naked dudes, and you just kind of try to walk in and walk out.
See, the least amount of what there is to see is possible. Yeah.
Locker room talk is more like it's pretty windy outside today.
Yeah,
right?
The old guys,
getting
they
dressed,
talk to each
dressed.
Other. And they're like doing like, you know, Captain Morgan poses and everything. Like airing that shit out.
Jay is demonstrating right now, but
they have zero fucks to give.
Yeah, yep. I give them credit for being like that comfortable with their bodies, but I don't know. Uh-huh. Old, like the balls, you know, sag over time, and it's just not a.
All the more reason to air them out.
I guess so. Yeah, you really have to.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I just figured out how we're celebrating our 17th podcast birthday by having a boy in our room.
I was like, talk about balls.
But anyway, I don't want to intrude too much on your show, but. Love what you guys do. Big fan.
Listen to Survivor with Jane, Jack, and Colleen last week.
Long time listener, first time pod crasher.
Okay, that's got to be a blooper at least.
I'll probably just keep it in.
Good luck, guys.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yep. All right. Thank you, special pod crasher guest. I guess it doesn't really matter about the mansplaining thing. Just know that Jeopardy did that shit and it was funny.
language is evolving.
Yeah.
Dictionaries are all dictionaries are always behind.
Yeah.
But yeah, new words are being created all the time.
All right. Moving on.
So big news, guys.
Yes.
Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life trailer.
I cried.
It's here.
I got teary-eyed, rather.
What do we think?
I loved it.
Oh, my God.
It was good.
Colleen told me to watch it before we recorded, and I somehow got distracted, and I have not.
Oh, my God. Literally, everybody, they make sure that they show everyone is in it. Like, everyone. There's no, like, is this person back? Everyone. Oh. Except Christopher. Was Christopher in the trailer?
Well, even like, I didn't think that Melissa McCarthy was going to be in it because they had all that big drama that she wasn't invited because she's too famous now. And she, if my eyes doth deceive me, she was there.
Yes, she was. So, yay, that was fun. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I got all teary-eyed, and they're doing something for Richard for like a memorial thing, right? And they addressed that. Yeah. And, oh, man. I cannot wait. We are totally going to talk about it, right, when it comes out.
Yes. Yay! I think we're going to have to.
Okay, Shandy, your homework is to watch it and let us know.
Okay, I absolutely will. Okay. I can't believe I didn't.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Oh my God, though. Yeah, I'm totally excited. I'm trying to think if there's anything
Have we talked about our history with the Gilmore Girls? Maybe a little bit. You guys
What's
yours? Colleen, you were at the time watcher, right? You like watched it as it came out.
Yeah, I probably came in. My sisters watched it from the very beginning. I think they probably got me into it like season two.
Okay. And Amanda?
I was watching it from the beginning and then kind of fell off. What, I guess we would have been in college?
Yeah.
Because we were kind of the same age as Rory.
Yeah.
So then I sort of became kind of a sporadic watcher. And then when the original showrunners left, I kind of fell off. So I should probably get myself caught up in the last couple seasons before before the new series comes out.
The last couple seasons are not as good as the, you know. But yeah.
And that's always the case. When the original creatives leave, like the show tends to kind of just take a little bit of a nosedive just because it loses a little bit of its heart, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think I saw like an episode here or there as it was airing, but like really never watched it until maybe like a year or two ago when it was on Netflix and I just like watched from the beginning to the end. So like as with most things, I was a latecomer, but so excited to watch.
But you loved which it, is, right?
Oh my God, of course. Like I totally loved it. And it's funny to hear you say, Amanda, that we are Rory's age because since I did watch it then like sort of later in life, when I was like a early 30s, I feel like in so many ways I kind of identified more with Lorelai. Like she was kind of my
You were also a mother at 16, Shandy?
Well, no, not at all, but just like her perspective as I was like an adult woman. You know what I mean? Like, no, of course not. But yeah, I mean, I was definitely not like as a 30-year-old watching it for the first time, not identifying with the 16-year-old as, you know, as much as with the with her mother. But no, interesting. Yeah, that definitely puts it into a different perspective. But excited to see it. So that means that now Rory is in her early 30s.
If they stick with the timeline. Oh, yeah. It'd be interesting. Yeah. So we're 32. And what was Lorelai when Rory was born? She was 16?
16, I think, yeah.
So was she 30? Was she 32 when the series started or 34? What was it? Because Rory...
How old was Rory when the story started?
Rory was
she was in high school.
I'm pretty
sure. She was a sophomore, so I think she was 16. Maybe
she was 16
that on purpose, like 16 at 16. Yeah, like
yeah.
She was 16, and her mom was 16 when she gave birth.
Holy fuck! That means Lorelai was 32 when the series started.
Yes, exactly.
Which
that's
means we are the same age. Oh my God!
That's what I'm talking about. So when I watched it for the first time, I was closer to Lorelai's age.
Holy. Okay, wait. No,
I need to go back and watch it from the beginning just to like see what what my brain does.
I can't. I'm having a big moment right now because Lorelai still feels like more of a grown-up to me than I am now, even though Lorelai was not a grown-up, but like I mean but I don't know who I am. Like, how has my life, how has my life progressed me so much that right now I am the same age as Lorelai when the series started?
I mean, but key difference, again,
Amanda's looking at me like I'm a crazy person.
You didn't have Zachary. You didn't have Zachary when you were 16. So that's a definite key difference. So.
I guess. I mean, I don't even know. Wow. This is a big existential moment for me.
Wow. Yeah, I know. This hit you really hard.
I just.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that she was, you know, like a grown up.
Okay. Well, she was a grown up, and we are technically grown ups, even though we don't feel like it.
How dare you? How dare you?
We pay taxes. We, like, you know, have, I don't know, like.
Grown up, fine, but grown up?
Thank you. Now. Thank you.
I mean, Colleen's the most grown up of all of us, right? So, yeah, you're grown up.
I would argue that's that. True. Have you heard all the sex mortgage, jokes that I make on a podcast?
Yeah.
No, I don't, girl, own, you have a mortgage, anything. You have a child.
I haven't birthed a human. Yeah.
Wow. Not saying that you have to in order to be an adult, but like, shit, I don't have a mortgage. I don't have a child. Yeah, I could disappear tomorrow. Nobody would know. Well, that's not true, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
Hold on. I'm texting my sisters.
We're adults. I got bills and shit.
I just texted my sisters.
Oh, no, I got serious bills.
Yeah, that's true. I got
yeah, we all got bills.
Yeah. I put away for retirement and, like, I have health insurance and like, all that shit. Yeah, it's crazy.
Life is weird right now. Yeah.
I have dental. I need to fucking cash in on that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. Oh, speaking of cashing in, Edna might get out of prison. But that's a topic for another
day. Right from cereal. I haven't really read about that. I saw like one article. Yeah, so let's save that.
He requested to get out of prison. So he got granted a new trial and he asked to be released from prison while he awaits the new trial.
Oh. Have they obviously haven't given a decision on that yet though, right?
They're no. So he just had filed a motion for release.
Okay.
Because he's not a flight risk, says he poses no danger to the community, makes no sense he'd run from the case that he's spent more than half his life trying to prove. I'm still in the Adnan did it camp, though, so I don't know how I feel about that.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
The trial is certainly fucked, though. Yeah?
What?
Yeah.
The trial itself was certainly fucked.
He did not get...
I don't know. I would have to say I thought he was innocent after Serial ended. And then I have made this argument so many times. But if anyone wants to know my thoughts on this and haven't heard me on like Nonsense Cast or any of the other shows that I've gone on a rant about this, I totally thought that he was innocent at the end of Serial. Even though I was uneasy with the way Serial ended, that it kind of, to me... I thought that Sarah, the way she left it off as she did because she thought that he was guilty. And that I always had that kind of in the back of my mind. And then Undisclosed came out. And the first few episodes of Undisclosed, I was like, oh my God, can you believe this? Like, it really sounds like he's not guilty. And then the episode where they disprove the state's timeline. And I was like, wow, like that's it. Like clearly, you know, like this whole thing is like he's innocent. And then I start to think more and more. And this was when Zach was born and I was up a lot at night nursing and I was spending time on like the Serial Reddit and a lot of time. I've read I read all the court transcripts while I was nursing in the middle of the nights.
Mm-hmm. That's so, just ridiculous.
Sometimes you need things to do. Okay. So things on your screen, and I don't read like the books on the screen because I'm not good at that. So, but anyway, it wasn't even that.
The books on the screen.
It wasn't even that. I got a very uneasy feeling thinking about how they disprove the timeline where I thought, oh my God, they disprove the timeline. That means that the timeline was wrong. But that doesn't mean that he didn't do it. That just opens it up for he's the easiest person that could have done it when you think about it, and like that just completely to me opened it up that he could have done it and he was not constricted to the timeline, like the state's timeline, and that like what was it like 40 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever the fuck it was, like that was what was unbelievable to me. But once you got that out of the way, you could come up with any other explanation and timeline that he actually reasonably could have done it. And that was a thing that kind of got me off of the Adnan is innocent train. So yeah, I know that people are listening to this and probably going to be like screaming at me like, you're wrong, but I had to stop listening to Undisclosed probably like by their 10th, after that reward episode, I couldn't with them. Like, I couldn't. So anyway, I have yet to, I know you're innocent till proven guilty and blah, 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 blah. And technically, guys, he was proven guilty if you think about
it. Yeah, or innocent till proven unguilty.
Right. Anyway, I think he did it. And I hope that I'm proven wrong. But, you know, at the other hand, for her family, I hope that I'm proven right and he stays in jail. So it's kind of a weird thing. Anyway, we could talk about Serial all day, all whatever, some other episode. I don't want to waste too much time on that when we've got some feedback to get into. And if anybody needs a pee break, we could do that now and possibly play our ad.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I'll take you up on that.
All right. So pee break / possible ad break, possible not ad break. We'll see. All right. So welcome back maybe from our ad. Maybe not. We'll see. Or we saw already and conquered it because you all skipped over it probably. But we do have some feedback. So let's, I guess, get into that. Amanda, I nominate you to start.
Shout out to my new friend, Selena, for correcting me on my terrible butchering of Harry Potter pronunciation. Thank you for that. While we were recording, I needed the help. So thank you.
And also last week, I don't know if Alice and Martha still listen, but they are also our resident Harry Potter experts, and
yes.
I felt like an asshole when I was editing and was like, why didn't I also shout out them? So shout out Alice and Martha, too.
Yay.
And then we had something from Matt about the horror TV show list. He said, who created that list? True Detective is horror, and the only...
Is it
one more time?
A Jewish dance?
Don't you people pronounce it horror? Like me?
Yeah,
horror.
It's horror.
Horror. Which is like understandably horrible.
Hora
because
is something too different. Many horrors,
but okay.
I was like, it reminds me of the German Hura, which I believe is whore.
Okay, well, I just have to say, I was trying to avoid the original, the old mirror thing.
I like it. Colleen, I love the way you talk. So
okay, well, I'm going to continue with horror because that is what is natural to me.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even say anything. It's awesome.
Hi.
And can you also say water, please? What are you drinking?
Water?
Well, what are you not drinking? Okay.
Bia? Drinking a Bia? Anyway, the only reason to have True Blood, Penny Dreadful, and American Horror Story on top 25 is there are only 25 horror shows in the history of TV. I thought True Detective was scary. I just want to put
it
that
out there. It was scary as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't really traditional horror.
No, it
wasn't. It was more
sort
of suspense crime drama.
I mean, it wasn't really
horror. It wasn't really horror.
Horror. Just leave me the fuck alone, horror.
I say that with love because I really do enjoy the way
I know,
because
I could never say kitten.
Yeah. Kitten.
Kitten. Kitten.
Not even
horror.
For funsies?
What?
That's all right. I can't say kitten either.
I don't know.
Kitten.
Cat.
It's a baby cat.
It's a cat.
A baby pussy.
Baby pussy. There you go.
No, that sounds really wrong.
Dennis added he was waiting to hear Fringe on the list. I think that Fringe was scary in its first couple seasons, but I don't think that it ended being scary. I think it ended being, like, you know, strictly sci-fi-y.
Yeah, well, and I think there is a distinction between, like, sci-fi, suspense, and horror.
Yeah. That's true, but then
you know,
what do
one's not better than the other necessarily, but they are different.
Yeah. Anyways, so Lindsay posted this: when ass eating goes wrong. Now, I will admit that this is something that I know nothing about. I will throw that out there. I have been very honest and open. I feel like don't know anything about this.
I will also mention that the You should check out the actual article in the Facebook group because the illustrations are wonderful.
Oh, yeah, the illustrations are very pretty.
Okay, become a patron so that you can look at the article because, yes, the illustrations are wonderful.
All right.
Which is really nothing. That's like one latte a month.
That is very
seriously, yeah.
That's nothing.
When ass eating goes wrong.
When ass eating goes wrong. God.
Ass munching.
I feel like there does need to be the accompanying article when ass eating goes right, but we're still
maybe you
waiting.
Could work on that for us, Shandy.
Yeah.
All right. Like I said, I got nothing on this. Ass munching, salad tossing, kissing the chocolate starfish. Yes, we're talking about rim jobs, and depending on the individual, he or she either loves doing it or having it done and thinks that it's the absolute grossest sex act there is. I don't think that. I think that taking a dump on your chest is probably the grossest thing.
They kind of go hand in hand in some of these stories. So.
Okay, well, you guys read this. I admit that I only skimmed. All right.
I got about halfway through. I did not read the whole thing. Full disclosure.
Anyway.
All right. So we have some of the worst ass-eating horror stories. This is in honor of Halloween. This is our Halloween article for the week. First one is slippery when wet. I've been seeing this girl sporadically and decided it'd be fun to have her over to fuck while I was house-sitting for my boss. She came through and we started having sex in the fancy master bedroom shower. Did we talk about this last week, how shower sex for something
not
so wet, something so dry?
Yeah.
We decided to do some anal while in the sterile confines of the shower. Smart. And after a little of that, she was getting sore. So I pull out, quickly rinse my dick off, and get on my knees to start rimming her to get her into it and relax. I don't know if it was the heat from the shower, the sudden shift in blood from having a stretched out asshole, or a mixture of the two. But just a few seconds into my rimming, she starts going limp hard on my nose. I'm quickly scrambling to catch her and slipping around on the tile. She's woozing and regaining consciousness, and when I drag her out, soaking wet, to the bed. She says that it's never happened to her before, so it must have been a fluke. But in those 15 to 20 seconds, I fear the worst, like she had an aneurysm or something. Besides dealing with the tragic loss of life, how would I explain that to my boss? I was thinking that too when I was doing that. And I'm laughing because I'm trying to picture somebody almost fainting on somebody's like head in the shower during this.
That's like my biggest fear. As someone who does faint a lot, that's like my biggest fear is fainting.
Really?
Sex, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Well,
I faint a lot, so it's in the realm of possibility.
Is there like, do you have like specific triggers, or is it just like whenever?
Low blood sugar, heat, confined areas. I've had like every test under the sun. There's no clear reason for why.
Because one of my brothers has this thing, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's like certain, like really, there are certain things that like really like squick him out that make him faint. Like being in a class where, in a health class where you're talking about meth will like make him faint because it's like so, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, no, mine's usually not so much like, yeah, it's usually like environmental, not.
Yeah. Not just like a mental conceptual kind
it's,
of.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Anyways, so we have getting back to the ass eating.
Please.
We have a whole bunch of these stories here. A couple of them mention getting an STD or something, but this one kind of also made me laugh. In the same realm of it was bacterial booty. Back in my slutty days, I once took a guy home from a bar. He was a dancer and had the most beautiful ass I've ever seen. It was big and lightly covered in fur. And since I love eating an ass, I just had to get my mouth all over it. Everything seemed fine, and we had a great time. The next morning, I got up, got dressed, went to get my hair cut. While I was at the barber, I noticed I had a pimple near my mouth, which was annoying, but whatever. Then, when I was done getting my hair cut, there were two more. By the time I got home, there were little white bumps all around my mouth. I went to the doctor 2 days later and he told me I had a bacterial infection in my mouth, probably from eating out a dirty hole. He gave me some cream and it went away in a few days. The worst part, though, was before it went away, I went to a friend's house and his roommate totally clocked me and said, "Is that a breakout from eating ass?" I don't know if I should be embarrassed that he knew or embarrassed for him that he'd had it too.
Oh, good.
And
that's pretty amazing.
I have to say, as I'm reading this, I'm like, oh my God, this is describing the breakout that I get the day after I eat Fritos.
What does that say about Fritos?
Yeah, just go to your doctor and get a cream.
There's another one in which this chick ate her boyfriend out on the ass and he farted on her. And
yes, I feel like this is a shout out to
this is a shout out to Tim. That's why I'm reading it. Okay. Or I'm summarizing it rather. And essentially, she woke up a few days later with pink eye when her boyfriend farted on him, on her, while she was licking his asshole. She got pink eye.
She says, I didn't break up with him over that, but it's no surprise we didn't last much longer.
Oh, good times. Good times.
I think one of the kind of themes in these various different stories.
Poop.
Poop.
Well, I mean, also, that's kind of unavoidable, yeah. given the region.
A lot of times, though, too, it seems like people are very surprised by it. Like, it's just like, hello, I'm here. And I will say that happened to me once. And, like, luckily I didn't have any of the, you know, side effects that are talked about in any of these articles. But it was kind of like, oh, like, so we're, like, hooking up. And then all of a sudden it's like, that's where your mouth is. Okay. All right. I guess we didn't really talk about this, but. Okay, whatever, and then like move on to other things, and like, okay, I guess that happened, but I don't know. I feel like usually that's a conversation, right?
I would hope so.
I suppose, although, yeah,
because it's not just. I mean, there are certain things that don't have to be conversations, and I'm not saying like I wasn't like offended or anything. I was just like,
well, are you
like,
talking
okay,
that?
If that's what you like, that.
Are you talking about finger in the butt or tongue?
No, I'm talking about tongue in the butt. Like, oh.
Okay, yeah.
Well, because exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, if you weren't preparing for that, you might not be as, you know, put together down there as you may want to be.
I may have had a more thorough shower that night had I known that that was
exactly. Gonna... That's my point.
But...
Ask to be invited in.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's another one that I found hysterical. You ready? So for the first time, my high school girlfriend and I tried anal play. We were drunk, and she really hadn't prepared too well. We were messing around late at night in the basement of her parents' house while they were asleep. It was a big enough house that they were far enough away and not likely to hear anything. We'd figured that out in the past. So I started licking her butthole while rubbing her clit, and she's breathing heavy, and I think getting into it. Yes, probably, because you're hitting all of her erogenous zones. Suddenly she says, oh no, and I feel a gritty wetness on the tip of my tongue. A millisecond later, the taste hits me, and I start spitting and gagging and loudly saying, what the fuck? Apparently my licking had knocked loose some liquid feces somewhere deep in her bowels.
No, I can't. I can't.
Her parents fortunately didn't hear my cries and come down. There was a streak of brown on the tan suede couch we'd been messing around on. And despite our best efforts, the stain never came out. I remember noticing it every time I went over there.
Oh my God,
okay, I can't.
So, look, this is exactly why I feel like... This is kind of like anal play negative, this compilation of articles. And I feel like they're all valid. But this is why I do feel like there should be a... like an accompanying piece of like how to do anal play right when ass eating goes right.
Yeah.
I feel like this is very like one sided, well, but yeah,
I feel like
hear these things and you're like, I know, like I'll pass, I'll hard pass all the time.
Well, I feel like this is kind of like with customer service reviews. Nobody ever gets on and says the good things. They just kind of complain about the bad things.
That's fair.
Well, there are places where they say the good things. Just saying. I'll do some internet searching. We'll balance it out.
That's true. Shandy, you read all these, right?
I did.
Should I read the last one? It's kind of long, but it's like, you know, the grand finale one.
You know what? It was so long that I almost skipped over it, even when I was, oh my God. Yeah, it's, oh my God. It's called Dinner Date with a Nugget Muncher. So,
oh God. Oh no.
I feel like if you really want to know about that, you should just pay to get in the patrons group and then look it up.
True.
Yeah, that's like 8 paragraphs.
It's very long, and it's very much kind of what it sounds like, date night with a nugget muncher, and it will probably make you,
It's like one of those like bad Yelp reviews where it's like, it was raining and like my boyfriend broke up with me yesterday. It's like, I don't know. I don't need all that extra information. Doesn't make the story any better.
Oh, good times. So anyway, in the sake of moving on, if you'd like to hear the rest of those, and there is some pretty funny stories, join the patrons group or, you know, I don't know, Google ass eating. And if you're into that, I'm sure. Don't do it
There's
at work.
It's going to come up.
Yeah, go ahead. Do that. See what happens.
Yeah, do that.
Don't
see what
do
happens.
Don't do it on your work computer.
Don't do it on your work computer.
But really, yeah, save that. Save your job and that salary and just pay $5 a month to be in the patrons group and read it. Because let me tell you, a lot of these make Tim and his dog poop in the mouth story in the Married Man show sound like a pleasant experience. But anyway, we got a little bit of actual other feedback, so let's do that, and then we will call it a night.
All right, so our first email is from Stephanie, and she says, Cuisinart Smart Stick, .. I mince the garlic, ginger, onion, etc. with this.
So this is going back to our Blue Apron talk last week about do you mince garlic or just buy it?
And funny story, I actually have this. I got it for Christmas several years ago, and I don't really use it because I find every time I take it out, it's just a lot more work than it's worth, and I can never really figure out how to best utilize it. So thanks for the tip, Stephanie. I'm going to have to give that a whirl.
I love how much garlic has become a thing on this podcast.
Because it's delicious. And I'm a vampire, so big fan.
Very true. That.
Okay, so our next email is from John from New Jersey, entitled Thank You. And I'm just going to say you're welcome. He says, hi, I'm a little behind on your podcast, but just finished the episode where you guys talked about the I've Met Trump hashtag. I really just want to say thank you for being so brave to talk about such an important issue. I have to be honest, I really had no idea that this was going on like this. I had heard of the sexual assaults in the military and colleges, but didn't realize it was this bad. I even asked my wife if this was something she'd ever encountered, and she confessed that something similar had happened to her when she was younger. I'm a guy with 2 daughters, ages 3 and 5. I love them more than anything. Sometimes I wish I could just put them in a bubble and shield them from the cruel world. This isn't a political issue. This is a human issue. We need to do better. John from New Jersey.
Amen.
Well said. Well said. Thank you, John, for writing in.
Amen. Yes.
It feels so nice to like have that positive feedback, because I definitely felt like it was important when we were talking about it, and I still think it's very important. And like just to hear this, especially from guys, like I feel like this was it, like we talked about it on the podcast, but like I feel like it was this very like uniting moment for women, because like we know that we've all dealt with this kind of stuff, but I feel like men don't know. And so it's very valuable, I think, for them to realize like, every single woman they know has dealt with something like this. And like when you understand the scale, then I think that's kind of what helps to bring about social change.
And I think it's just kind of the next step in that evolution. It's, you know, uniting the women, and now it's bringing in our male compatriots.
Definitely.
I don't even think all the women are united. Like, I feel kind of sorry for, this is going to sound weird, there are women who either haven't experienced it or live in such a reality or bubble, I don't even know what the right word is, where they experience all the time and think that it's the norm and think, well, what's the fucking problem? And I feel like those are the people that we're having trouble with getting them to understand. Yes, we talked about like happened to us as teenagers, and it wasn't so much like, you know, we were like, this doesn't feel right, but it was also not like I have to blow my rape whistle here. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you don't, yeah. sometimes you just don't, you just assume, like, you know.
Or you don't know, and you don't have the tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you sit there and go, why is this person complaining? Like, this happened to me and I, you know, didn't blah, 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 blah. So it's definitely a way of trying to get society to rethink, like John, like, hey, you know, not okay, not cool.
No, absolutely. And I've been thinking about it a lot, even after we recorded. I had a friend who messaged me the next day, sort of just unrelated, but not so much that I've met Trump, but what was the other hashtag that was going around Twitter? It was
not okay.
No,
not okay.
Was that it? Not okay. And,
yeah, it was,
well,
not
it was
okay.
There were a couple, but okay. Yeah.
And she,
well,
she
not okay,
tweeted.
Yeah, okay.
She tweeted at it, and she was one of the tweets that the news outlets that were picking this up were talking about, and how it really how much it affected her, and just we sort of got into a larger conversation about how the debate had really affected her, and really echoed a lot of Shandy what you had said, and it really just it hit me extra hard, and it really helped me focus my own thoughts a little bit and sort of think a little bigger about the whole thing. And
yeah,
it's important. It's really, really important, and I'm glad that we are playing a small part in allowing other people to feel comfortable in talking about it too, because yeah. It is so important.
What would you guys say to any women out there or men out there listening to it now who think that we are making a big deal out of nothing, or that it really doesn't exist and we're just, again, making a big deal out of nothing? What would you guys say to them in 40 seconds or less, in the name of time? I know. I really put you on the spot.
That's
here.
So hard.
That's what she said.
Honestly, I think most of the men in my life get it and understand. And maybe that's because they know me, or maybe because they're friends with me and people like me, or because they're already sort of like on that wavelength. But I guess there are men that I interact with in life that I don't talk politics to, that I, you know, like I'm thinking about like at work specifically, like I do not talk about politics at work, and I do not talk about those kinds of things. I agree with JD that, from NJ, that this is not a political issue. However, it's often framed like that, because anytime you have something that's sort of framed in this like feminist context, all of a sudden it becomes this political thing. And I feel that, because like I live and breathe feminism every day, but I don't talk about it at work, and I'm careful to not make feminist of comments. It's seen as being political, even though I think it's just a matter of human rights. Like, how is human rights political? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I would have to, just to piggyback off of that, I just want to say, because I do my best, as you guys know, and I edit some stuff out. Like, I do my best to keep these shows, like, politics off of them. Like, straight up politics. Like, talking about certain issues or whatever. Like, but I feel like this, again, like Shandy said, is something that is societal that needs to be addressed. Yeah. And that's why, you know, as producer, I guess I kind of press these topics to be talked about. Something like this, again, I feel like is a societal thing that needs to be discussed, because there are people out there who, not that they don't get it, because not getting it is implying that you're told about it, but like too dumb to realize it, who just don't think that way because they're, whatever the reason, like they have either not experienced it or just are so set in their, like, well, this is what happens kind of ways. But yeah, sorry, Amanda.
Well, I mean,
yeah, but I think you touched on a point, and I think to keep in my 40 seconds, I think how I would address someone like that would just to be returned with the question of what in your life experience leads you to believe that it's not a problem.
Because your environment around you has.
But exactly. Yeah. But it's like you sort of can't fight a beast you can't see.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That it's like I need to know where you're coming from, that you don't think that this is a problem when so many other people do. So explain to me, is it just that you personally have never experienced it, or, you know, like you can't get to a root of a problem if you don't know where it stems.
Or is it right. Is it kind of like how when Jay was mentioning, is that really like rich white entitled dude locker room talk? Is this something where it happens? It's kind of like your, I don't know. I don't know the right way to explain it. Do you know the vein I'm going in where it's like accepted within your own social circles?
Oh, no, absolutely. And that's kind of what I was going to say is like, I'm talking about work and, like, for example, I work in a mostly male environment where I would assume, and I think it's maybe skews more conservative, depending on the person, but not that this is a conservative or liberal thing, but I do, like, just like I was alluding to before with the feminism thing, like, I think that people tend to view that as being a certain, like, political orientation. I do suspect that there are many people that I interact with on an everyday basis who just do not see that this happens all the time because it doesn't happen to them. Mm. And so that is part of the thing is that's why it's so important to talk. And that, I mean, that's like, again, just like I said, like I wouldn't talk about this at work anyway. So that's kind of a moot point, but like on a more like societal level, that's why I felt like it was more to talk about on the podcast. That's why I talked about it on social media, like, because I do think it's an important conversation to have. And then in that way to reach the people who don't necessarily realize, and they may very well be, you know, our like male feminist allies, but they may not realize that this is such a large scale problem. And so to see that, I think, is just so important. And again, just like you were saying, Colleen, like you can't, like once you realize the scale of this, you can no longer deny it. You can deny it when you think that it's like this fringe thing that's happening and you can talk about it in those terms. But when you realize that it's like literally every woman, when you actually like can understand that and see that is the truth, then you can no longer deny it.
Yeah. We have another email from Mandy, and I guess I can read that. But before we do that, I just remembered, like, 1,000 broadcast listeners and their moms all posted the link to the wine bottle that attaches to the glass and tagged me in it. Thank you all. You warm my heart. You know me so well. I just wanted to say that. But it was really like
Christmas is coming.
Right. Christmas is coming. Set up a P.O. box. Or maybe we could do our own, like, broadcast Secret Santa or something. Anyway, Mandy says, good evening, ladies. I had a lunch meeting with a coworker, let's call him Richard, today, who I had never met in person. I walk up to him in the lobby of our office, and this proceeded to happen. Richard: hi, Mandy. Me: hi, Richard. Oh, I don't know if she wants us to... Anybody else have this up? Maybe we should read this in
Oh, the broadcast players?
Okay, we're going to bring the broadcast players back for Mandy's
it's
email.
You guys. If there's directions, I'm on it, but it's
okay,
you guys.
Shandy, we have to start again, and you need to read the narrative part. You ready?
Okay. Oh, wait. Who are you?
I can be Richard. I keep with tradition and be the boy.
Okay, deal.
Okay. So, good evening, ladies. I had a lunch meeting with a coworker. Let's call him Richard. Today, who I had never met in person. I walk up to him in the lobby of our office, and this proceeded to happen.
Hi, Mandy.
Hi, Richard.
Starts walking to the car.
So, when are you due?
I'm not.
Awkwardly laugh at him. Since I can't physically assault coworkers.
Oh, come on, you are. So really, what are you expecting?
Really, I'm not. Where would you like to go for lunch?
Oh, my God. I would have ordered a fucking shot of tequila as soon as I got to lunch.
Where would you like to go for lunch? I hope they serve alcohol.
I'm sorry, Miss Narrator. Continue. Sorry.
Oh. Then I have to go through the next hour having lunch with Dick, pretend, forget what happened, and try not to be offended. Why would any person feel the need to make that comment unless the other person has made it clear they're expecting? What is the correct response as a woman who is not expecting? Would I have been wrong in the moment to express that I was offended and backed out of lunch, or would that have made it even more awkward? Love the show, ladies. Mandy.
Holy crap.
Mandy, I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Like, Oh, as a woman, if I see somebody that I'm like 100% sure they're pregnant, I still won't even, you know. Like,
only if I know for a fact that they are pregnant.
Yes, because they've told me prior, or because or I've seen it on Facebook.
Or, yeah.
Right, that. Yes.
Oh, or another coworker said that they told them.
Oh, my God.
No, you should never. And then if, like, if the person says, no, I'm not, don't press them. I mean, not like you're uncovering some great secret. Like, what the hell? Be embarrassed and say you're sorry.
Yeah, like, I don't even know, like, how you react other than being like, dude, I'm not. And then, like, literally chugging a handle of vodka. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously. Yeah.
No, but not, I'm kidding about the vodka part. But, like, other than being like, no, really, dude, I'm not. Like, I don't even know how you handle that because it's so awkward, but it's not even awkward for you. It's awkward for that person that's going to, at some point, hopefully go home and be like, huh, she really wasn't pregnant. I'm an asshole.
I'm an asshole, and I feel like a dick.
But, like, on what planet, if you go to someone, oh, when you do, and they say, I'm not, if they are, like, visibly actually pregnant, like, on what planet would they deny it? Like, yeah, so your answer shouldn't then be like, no, really.
Yeah, that guy should have been like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he should have been the one that was embarrassed.
Yeah, because there's like, there's insane. there is no situation where that he would have been in the right there.
And as far as backing out or not, I guess that would just depend if it was like a company thing where like you had to do that for business reasons.
I know. Professional situations make it a little bit tricky, but yeah, that would not make me want to go to lunch with that person.
No.
I don't know.
It does, ladies. It does beg the question. Has anyone ever done that to you guys?
No, thankfully.
No, I got a ticket while I was pregnant, and the guy didn't even realize I was pregnant, and I was 38 weeks. So,
well, I did. When I was like 23, I was on a road trip, and we had stopped in Utah, and we were like in this store, and I really had to go to the bathroom, and I like went up to the woman who works there, and I asked, like, in this desperate, like, I need to fucking go to the bathroom now. Like, where's your restroom? And she was like, oh, I remember when it was very pressing for me to go to the bathroom. And I was like, okay. And she's like, you know, like, and like implying like all of these things. And I was like, and then it clicked. And I was like, oh, she fucking thinks I'm pregnant. I was like, no, I was like, no, I don't. Cause she was like, you know what I mean? And I was like, no, I don't know what you mean. And she was like, okay. The bathroom's back there. And I was like, you know what? Well, I didn't say anything after that. I just went to the bathroom. I just had to fucking pee. Like, Jesus Christ.
It's so weird.
Was 23 years old. But then afterwards, I was like, okay, I'm 23 years old, but I was in Utah. Whatever.
Okay. I can see being embarrassed for the other person and yourself if it's like a totally innocent mistake on their part and then they realize it right away.
Yeah,
you know, kind of like how when you fart in front of somebody and you're like, how do I react? Like, I can see that, like, innocent mistake. But like, if they're going to keep pressing it, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But we need to end this on another embarrassing story, but one that's not at our expense. And this is a phone call that we have received. So we're going to play this and then we're going to wrap it up.
Hey, ladies, I just had a embarrassing story / etiquette question. If I handled this properly or not. So anyway, I run before picking up my son at school during the week, and I'd purchased some new shorts and ran in them, thought nothing of it. Generally run commando like most people do. And so I get to school and I go to pick him up. And there's a horseshoe driveway that I park at, and it's about 100 feet to the door. So as I'm walking up, the lady who usually is there to greet me and, you know, let the kids out and all that stuff, she's holding the door for someone. So I trot on up there, run on up there, thinking nothing of it. She had kind of a sheepish look on her face when I went in, which was unusual because usually she's very friendly and just talking to me. So then I went inside. She sat at the school desk they have there, like a classroom desk with a laptop on it where I signed him out. Needless to say, it's like at the height of my gentlemanly area, and so I sent him out, and I walk away. I usually take a few steps back because, well, I had been running, so I was not smelling great. And as I said, these were new shorts. I didn't know. so I looked down, and the way they were bunched, it would be like if I don't know, were wearing tights or nothing, and you could just see everything, basically. It was very revealing, let's put it that way. You could see every bit of the outline of yeah, you know. We don't speak this way in Capitolium, sorry. But then I was like so embarrassed and mortified, and I'm like, all right, do I like apologize for the outline of my dong being like at her eye level? And I must have been bouncing a bit when I was running up to the door, I guess, is what the sheepish look was for there. So should I have like apologized? Or I mean, I've seen her since then. She hasn't said anything, thank God. And thankfully took advice of my friends and wore some boxers while I ran today. So that didn't come up today. Mm-hmm. But should I have apologized? Should I have addressed it? Or was I okay just sheepishly hiding in the corner, adjusting my shorts quickly so that was no longer the case, and just pretending it didn't happen? So I don't know. How should I have handled that? I don't think I offended anyone. She didn't she hasn't treated me any differently since. So I'll take that as a good thing. So, all right. Oh, and a quick other question. When running and you're coming up behind a woman, I tend to give a very large area. All right, Seth, again, let me quickly finish up that story. So when you're running up behind, passing a woman or in the vicinity, or they're coming the other direction, I generally run on the street or on a boardwalk or on trail. I tend to give the widest distance possible and try and be loud before I get up there, just so, you know, people can hear me coming. But people a lot of times are on my headphones, and so I don't know if they hear me or not. But I just try and give the best distance. What is the best way to handle that as you know, women? How do you prefer that when somebody's passing you or you know, going in the other direction? And do you prefer they give you a little bit of extra distance if it's a man? So. That's just my question. All right. Thanks, ladies. Bye.
All right. So I think the answer to the second question is probably going to depend on whether or not your junk is bouncing around as you're passing them.
Actually, you know what? To the second question, I would say personally, I like to do the passing when I'm running. Ba-dum-ching.
Oh. But oh, my God. Yeah. Great times. I would definitely say... leave it alone. She'll forget about it, I hope.
Oh, yeah. You'll only make it more awkward if you bring it up. Well, it happened.
Exactly.
It happened, and it sounds glorious. I don't think there's anything wrong or to be ashamed of.
Well, it was in elementary school, so.
Oh, whatever. That's the human body. He was properly covered up. It's all good. He gave that middle-aged woman something to think about at night.
There you go.
Fine. There just don't bring it up, because then you'll embarrass both of you. But yeah.
It's the same as we were just talking about when you fart in somebody in front of somebody.
Just let it hang.
Like a fart in the air. Yep.
That's right.
But seriously, keep the underwear on next time you go in, because you don't want some like crazy mom to get offended and think that you're being weird.
Well, okay, no, but here's
no filter. If a kid sees it, a kid's going to say something. So
that's true.
Then okay, it's embarrassing for everyone.
I have. Okay, so I have two underwear questions. First of all, he mentioned, he's like, oh yeah, like most people, I run commando. Okay, I don't run commando. Who runs commando?
Not me.
You guys run commando?
Dudes, nope. I guess. Not me.
Okay.
I don't know. Right. Like, I have been known to wear multiple sports bras because I don't want any bouncage. I would imagine balls would be similar.
Totally. I hear that is a thing with the larger breasted ladies. I am not very well endowed, so it's not really a thing. But I have multiple friends.
Yeah, there have been times I get down the block and I'm like, nope. Turn around, go home, and layer up.
Layer up. Most people have to cowboy up. You layer up.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, keep them girls in place.
Okay. Second underwear related question. When you wear tights or nylons, do you, yes or no, also wear underwear?
Let us know, please. Inquiring minds.
Are you guys not going to answer my question?
I also don't wear nylons. I mean, with tights, I do, because you figure if you're wearing tights, it's probably cold outside and you need that extra layer of protection.
I was asking you, ladies.
Oh, I wear underwear 100% of the time when I'm not at home. When I'm at home, it's like 25-75 I'm wearing it.
Okay. No, because I have a friend, actually. That's the whole, like, running commando thing reminded me of this friend who was like, you know, when I wear tights, it's like built-in underwear, so don't wear underwear. And I was like, huh, I've never heard of that. So I was just wondering if her thing was more of a thing or if my thing was more of a thing.
Underwear all the way.
Underwear all the way.
Because the stats are coming in on my side.
But don't forget, wearing tights, it's cold outside. You need more than one layer of protection.
Right. Also, there's the peeing the pants factor.
And that's also true. Not for everyone.
That's true for some people. Well, there are different factors for me. You're gonna have to wash that shit more often if you don't wear underwear. So,
truth.
Yeah.
But I guess on that very wonderful note, that is it for our episode this week. Does anybody else have anything? Otherwise, I'm gonna say thank you to some of our special patrons, and that is Brad from Chicago, Eckhart Rickner, and Tack from Tokyo. I switched up the names this week, guys. I'm trying to keep it, exciting and spicy, just like a rim job.
or a foursome.
Or a foursome. Hashtag Ken is a 10. Hashtag crossover. Hashtag podcast craziness. Hashtag locker room podcast talk. Hashtag let's go Cubs. I know they lost tonight, but hopefully by the time this episode comes out, we have a happier ending.
That's sorry. What she said.
I think my apartment is rooting for the Indians. Oh, hashtag Ohio.
But the Cubs haven't won in 98 years, literally. And I didn't even have to do the math on that because I can understand. I think I'm right. I didn't do the math, but I'm pretty sure it's 98 years. That's a really long time.
That's a really long time. Yeah. Between you and me, I like an underdog. So yay, Cubs.
Yeah, okay, let's go, Cubs.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm not a sports fan, but I'm going to root for the one that's not a racial slur.
That's also true.
There you go.
Hashtag Cubs, yay.
Hashtag Cubs. Everybody go out and speak their feels.
God, I love that. Oh, I love it so much.
Me too. If you would like to submit some feedback, we love getting all the feedback, as you know. It makes us super happy. You can email us, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or you can call us 331-BROADS3. That is 331-276-2373. I say it every week, but put that shit in your phone so I don't have to keep saying the actual number and looking it up. Yeah. Does anybody else have anything else on this fine, fine evening where it is now the wee early hours of the morning and we are all, I'm sober, so I feel like that means the rest of the world is.
No? I mean, no, yeah.
I'm good.
All right, ladies. Next week is November. Next week is November 1st.
It's November. Yeah.
That's crazy. And then we need to figure out what we're going to do for the week of election, because Tuesday night is election night. And I feel
I will be otherwise occupied.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could do a live results podcast where we all get drunk and cry for one reason or another. Or we could just
joy or utter terror.
We could skip the week, just take it off, or we could just do it on Thursday instead. I guess we can figure that out. In the meantime, we also need to do our champagne brunch.
Yes.
All right. Yes. But we've got plenty of time to figure that out. In the meantime, I guess on that note, I am Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And until next week, the broads have spoken. Or until next week, we speak your feels.
We speak your feels.
All right, hashtag I'm with hers. Night, everybody. Or peace out. It was Brian's, wedding, I guess. I don't know where I'm going with this one.
Yeah. It's like one of those horrible, one of those annoying things that you just have to do.
Whoa, but I'm sorry, say that again. Dancing with the Stars with Jack, Cindy, and Heather just started playing randomly for no reason. sorry about that, guys. But check out that show.
No. I don't ever. No. No.
Oh, I'm going to cut that out, guys. No. It's actually, not even going to be a blooper.
You know, it's funny you saying that. I now never want to have sex again, so thank you.
Ken is a 10. Ken is a 10. Just think of Ken.
You're right.
It will get you there.
Then we've got a post from Lindsay. And I think that we nominated Shandy to read it.
Oh, really? We nominated Shandy to read this. Okay,
fine,
well,
I can read it. Would you like me to read it?
Well, I'm fine, but it's very long.
That's what she said.
Yeah, well, I mean,
rinse my dick off and start to get on my. Blah, 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 blah. Were you also pinching her tit too? Sorry. Suddenly,
is that gonna get erect?
What? Yeah, did those get erect? #Nick. Shout out. Bear Man Show.